We're going to kind of finish this series off. I kind of started with this, but it's so crucial that we understand that he has a plan for us. That you're not just here and then you're going to heaven. That's his ultimate plan for you. And I believe that, like the word said, that time is short and we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We really do. We need to set aside some of our own goals and hook up with his goals. I'm not saying that you need to stop and not do anything anymore for yourself, but I'm just saying that you need to find out what his plan is for us and not our plan for him. So, this might be familiar to this scripture, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Isn't that encouraging? Like, you have this. The world doesn't give you that. The world has nothing but financial woes and the tsunamis coming down and, you know, there's going to be earthquakes and, you know, 2 days before we moved here, there's a 4.8 Richter scale earthquakes off west of Vancouver. And then the province paper says Vancouver Island's going to rip open like a zipper. That's really encouraging when we're moving to Richmond. Especially with my wife who does disaster planning and, you know, it just like, really, why didn't you guys do that a week later? Like, we know that stuff's going to happen. Why did you have to, the day we move, do this? Well, God's got a plan whether the Vancouver Island rips open like a zipper, whether we're covered in water, whether Prince George has waterfront properties for sale pretty soon. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll tell you something. God has a plan for you. He's got a plan for your marriage. He's got a plan for your kids. He's got a plan for your future. Some of us are trying to so hard make sure that we have enough to retire. How much is enough? You know the commercials? How much is enough? There's never enough. People have $1 million. They need another million because they have friends that have three and they only have one. Only have one. Gee, how can you manage? You have a 29-foot trailer, you need a 17 feet more on that trailer. You need a 44, a 58, or a 107. I don't know where you could pull it, but we always need more. I'll tell you something, God will all give you what you need. And he has this plan, he already knows it. He knows your address when you move. He knows everything about how you're going to do in your whole life, every moment of the day. Can you imagine that he knows that? And he cares about you. So Jeremiah wrote this letter, and this is what we've been talking about. And so the very beginning of this chapter, it says, this is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. So this is kind of Jeremiah sending a letter. And it's an encouragement. Do you like cards? Do you like getting letters that say, hey, I really appreciate you. Thank you for what you've done. God has been speaking to me. Get a scripture verse. Somebody just kind of pours something in, phones you or sends you an email. This is what it is. This is an email to the captives from somebody who has an ear for God, somebody who spends some time. Now, if you read Jeremiah, his trip wasn't a very good one. You wouldn't want to be the prophet Jeremiah unless you like deep wells and lots of prison time and a few beatings in between. He didn't have lots of fun things to say to people. Actually, right to this point, pretty good letter. Right? We're all excited. You don't know how hard I wanted to skirt around this next little portion of scripture. Because I like to be warm and fuzzy and I like to encourage you. But you know what? Just as it was said already twice, is the Lord disciplines. And so it's not all warm and fuzzy. And so sometimes we need to hear what God has given us a word about. So that was the introduction. Here's the content. You know these points. Build a house and settle down. Plant gardens and eat from what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too might have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. You know, this Friday night or the Sunday night prayer meeting thing is just amazing. Even Easter Sunday, we had over 20 people. I say under 1,000 all the time. How many did you have out? Under 1,000. Well, I was around 22, but it's under 1,000 still. It's just called the sin of omission, just not telling the whole truth. But you know what's happening is God's doing something. There's no music when we gather. There's no scripture preaching. There's nothing. We just put names on, like Pastor Stephen said, put names on these boards, and then when God answers prayer, we put it on the praise report board. And we're going to do that. I don't know when we're going to stop. From 6 to 7. I was talking to somebody from another church in the Lower Mainland, and they said, they were telling me about their kids and how their kids had gone astray. And I said, I'll put their names on our board and we'll pray for them on Sunday nights. We want the family to gather back. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, so do you. That's a good deal, don't you think? I mean, that's matching. You bless them, they'll bless you. You bless them, God will bless you. And so you'll live, can you imagine, in captivity in a good way? We kind of live in captivity in this world, because this world is groaning, as it says in Romans 8. This world is groaning to be set free. We are groaning, all of us, saying, and especially some days, God, it's today when you need to come, because I don't think I can handle another 3 or 4 hours of this rotten day. Life is just really bad. God, Jesus, please come now. That's what we want. So we're kind of in captivity. We're captive to diseases. We're captive to the financial pressures. We're captive to accidents. We're captive to death physically. We're captive to all these things because we live in a fallen world. And you can't spiritualize yourself out of that. Sometimes I wonder about, why does God heal some and not heal others? I don't know. I've laid hands on people and they've been healed from all sorts of things, and I prayed for somebody and they died. I don't know how, but I'm not in charge of that. All I'm supposed to be is obedient. All we need to do is be there. Bring the presence of Christ in, because he knows everything that's going on. So pray for the prosperity and peace of our community. Richmond's a beautiful place. Elaine and I have been walking quite a bit, and I was just out last night walking and walked. It was really quite interesting because I was walking out just down by Gary Point, and it was about just as the sun was going down, so it was a beautiful sunset, and I saw this couple, young couple, and they were up on this little mound in, and behind them was this beautiful sunset, and they were just silhouettes, and they were kind of dancing and holding each other, And it was really kind of cool, and I didn't realize that as I got up closer that there was a photographer there doing these pictures, because I thought, what an interesting picture that would be. And the reality is that I saw God's creation and God's creation loving his creation. Can you imagine that? That's who we are. I don't know who they are. I don't know whether they're saved. I don't know whether they're believers. But they were drinking in the beauty that God has created. You just have to look around this place especially. This is nice, and if you don't think so, then take a look at the Coquihalla. Or if you want to go a bit further east, Ontario and the Maritimes. Do you ever send pictures back? Some of you do, right? And the little tagline is, I just had to do this, about the pictures of the flowers and everything. So this is the content. We have the introduction. We have the content. Now there's a caution. And it's this. Verse 8, it says, yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Listen to this. Do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to their dreams you've encouraged them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. Whoa. Didn't say, watch out for the guys coming in through the fence. Said, watch out for the ones who are among you. That's the part I didn't want to talk to you about. But I'll tell you something, it comes down to discernment. Everything spiritual is not from God. Every word that you hear is not from God. Do not ever let prophecy be directive. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do not let somebody come up to you and say, this is the say of the Lord that you're going to do this or that. No, you know what? That's wonderful if that confirms what God's spoken to you. If he's going to send you something somewhere, if he's going to do something in your life, if he's going to use you, he will tell you first. Do you understand that? Don't get caught up. And another thing that I'll just share with you is don't get caught up on the prophecies that are going on down in the States and over in the East and in Germany and in Japan and all that. Don't get caught up on that because we're not living there. We're living here. And God's got something to say to RPC. God has a plan for us. Don't get caught up in the latest book. Don't get caught up, unless it's my book. Don't get caught up in any of these things that will sway you away from the Word of God and prayer. Do not ever live vicariously in somebody else's ministry. All right? That's the warning. That's what he's saying is just watch it. They may look spiritual. They may say, thus saith the Lord. They may say all these kind of things. But do not believe them unless you have a witness from God inside of you. Because they'll take you down a path you don't want to go. I know, because I have done a lot of conflict resolution and crisis intervention in our churches in BC where prophets have come in, said a lot of things, sounded really exciting, and ripped that church apart. That is not the God that I serve. I don't care how spiritual that person is. That is not the God that I serve. That's not the God of this scripture here. He does not come to tear down the church. He comes to build it up. And when somebody does that, they lose all credibility in my eyes. And hopefully in your eyes. You need to hear from God. You need to hear this caution. He says, do not let them influence you. No matter how spiritual they seem they are, they seem to be. So there's a couple other times in scripture, and I was looking over my sermon, and all it is scripture. That's not that that's not bad. It's just that I just make stuff up as I go along about what this means. Also, you might think, well, look at this guy puts every word up there. And I do that for a reason. We have different nationalities here. Some are just learning English, and so I just want to make it so that if they can follow along, that they can see those words as well as I speak them. And so if you'll just bear with me, I think that's something we could share as a family. Verses 9 to 23 in Acts chapter 8, it says this. Now for some time there was a man named Simon, and I thought of you, Simon. I thought, well, it couldn't have been Bill or something. No, it could have been Bill. No, I'm just getting myself deeper here. Anyways, it's not this Simon, okay? Had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. He started to read his own advertising. And all the people, both high and low, gave him all their attention and exclaimed, this man is rightly called the great power of God. Isn't that interesting? We have a lot of people that can manufacture and empowered by not the God that we serve, but they can do supernatural things, and they're called people with great power in God. Verse 11, they followed him because he had amazed them for so long with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip and proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed. That's awesome. What a conversion, right? What would we do? We'd have him right up here on a platform. Hallelujah. Simon is not sorcering anymore. He's a man of God, and we do that. He'd be on Hundred Huntley and everything. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. That's an awesome time, don't you think? When you just lay hands on somebody and they start speaking in tongues and their whole countenance changes because all of a sudden, not that they have more of God, but God has more of them. And when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. We can make some bucks off of this. And said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands on will receive the Holy Spirit. I want to buy a ministry. You cannot buy a ministry. You cannot buy a ministry. I knew a guy that was in a conflict with the church. He is quite well-to-do. He caused lots of discord in the church. Lots. I mean, I sat across from the table, or actually, he stood this far from my face, yelled in my face. This is my brother in the Lord. Yelled and just told me to sit down because I was chairing the meeting. Sit down. There's about 70 people there. I said, actually, I'm the chairman and I'd like you to sit down. I'm not sitting down. I said, well, actually, you need to sit down because you're out of order. And I didn't raise my voice, but this guy got angrier and angrier and angrier. And what he did is he caused such a disruption in the church that he left the church and he took some of the people with him and he built his own church. He built a big church. And then he hired a pastor. You can buy a church and you can buy a minister. Hopefully you can't buy a God-directed minister. And within a couple of months, the whole thing went flat on its face because it wasn't of God. So don't get caught up. And he said, give me this ability so that I may lay hands on everyone and they receive the Holy Spirit. And Peter answered him, this is discernment. May your money perish with you. Now, for a preacher to say that, that's pretty good because you don't want to lose anybody tithing. Especially if this guy's doing good. If he's on the road, he's probably making a fair buck and you cut 10% of that out. You know, you figure them out. So Peter says, hey, your money perish with you because the thought that you could buy the gift of God with money is so ludicrous. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. And then he said, repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in hope that he may forgive you, that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you're full of bitterness and captive to sin. That is the discernment. And you have to be so wise if God shows you that. If you have the wisdom and obedience and you have the ear of God, maybe that person needs to hear that. That you're a bitter person. This person that was ripping this church apart and built his own church was a bitter man. You need to get rid of the bitterness. Because that's not one of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Then Simon answered him, pray to the Lord for me that nothing you have said will happen to me. That's conviction. The Acts is a neat book. Don't you think? I mean, they say it's a book that has been written, but it's been not finished yet. Because we're actually Acts people. Did you know that? We're Acts people. We need to move in the Holy Spirit like they did in Acts. And so if you want to find out where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to do, just read the book of Acts, because that's still happening today. And so we move on to chapter 16, and it says, once they were going, in chapter 16, verse 16, once they were going to the place of prayer where they met a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Oh, man. I've been in services where a guy says, I know how much money you got in your pocket. You got 2 quarters, a dime, and a loonie. Wow, that's pretty, you know, and he's right. You pull it out, and that's... I know some things about you, and nobody else knew them, and he says them, and they're true. I've been in those services. It's a scary place to be. What is that? What is that all about? That's the sorcery. That's the magician. That's the, wow, look at me. Look how close I am to the Lord. Look at, you know what? And I look at these spiritualists and, and these clairvoyants and spirit channelers, and the police use them. You ever thought about why they're so accurate? They go, and then the voice comes to them and they say, the body's buried over here. How did they know that? Because the spirit they're channeling was the spirit that was there when that person was killed. Go figure. Think it might know where it is? They're hooking into another spirit world. There's another spirit world out there, and we're going to learn lots about that over the next few years. It's powerful, but it's not God's spirit. It's the enemy. So she predicted the future and earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. I thought it was pretty funny not that long ago that one of the fortune-telling businesses went down. They went broke, and I thought, didn't they know that was coming? That's the way I think, because, like, you didn't know that? Like, if anybody knows they're going down, it should have been them. Verse 17, it says, so she followed Paul and the rest of them, shouting, listen to this. These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved. That's an awesome thing, don't you think? I mean, that's like Facebook. I mean, that's Facebook, the talks, Facebook that talks. You know, it's like, hey, you know, these men are serving God. If you'll follow them, you'll get saved. What could be wrong with that? And she did this for like a few days. That would get on your nerves after a while, especially if she's not part of the team, right? And she has a bit of a background. She kept this up for many days, and finally Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to her, or said to the spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, her ministry was over. Isn't it amazing? Now, you'd have to have discernment to know what to do. You'd have to have discernment to say, that is a religious spirit. That's not the spirit of the living God. That's not the way the living God does it. And so you'd hear this in the background everywhere you were. These men are the men of God, and they'll lead you to salvation. These men are the men of God, and they'll lead you to salvation. And finally he said, Spirit, come out of her in the name of Christ. And then problems started for Paul. Because the guys that were making money off her all of a sudden lost their business. And so then they took him to the magistrates and they beat him up and they put him in jail. And then God set him free. And like, it was a pretty exciting thing, but I don't think I'd like to go there myself. I just like to read about it. And then King Solomon, in discernment, he says, the Lord was pleased, in 1 Kings 3:10, the Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. God said, what do you want? So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, but have asked or nor death for your enemies, but for discernment in administrating justice, for thus the Lord says, of Lord of hosts says of Israel, Solomon, that's what he asked for. He just asked for wisdom. He didn't ask for all the money, all a long life, and death to his enemies. I might have wove one or two of them in there. You know, he just said, give me discernment. And of course, you know that he had tremendous discernment, because there was a woman, two prostitutes came, they each had a baby, and one rolled over on her baby, and the baby died. And so in the middle of the night, she switched babies, and they came to the king and said, hey, you know, that's my baby. No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. So Solomon just says, okay, put the baby down there. We'll take a sword and we'll cut the baby in half, and each of you can have half. And one woman goes, no, don't do that. Give it to her. Because that was the mom. Tremendous wisdom, don't you think? Because he discerned the situation. God gives us that, and we have to have that. So when God says this, and I'll read it to you again. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your false prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you. Pay no attention and attach no significance to your dreams, which you dream, or to theirs. Now there's a big movement of dreams, interpreting dreams. Who's interpreting your dream? Are they stable people? Because if they're not stable people, don't let them interpret your dream. And I think God will help you understand. I've had dreams and I said, what's going on, God? Tell me what. If he gives you the dream, he'll give you the interpretation. And somebody will confirm it. For they prophesied falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them. I have not sent them. Make sure whoever comes into your presence, into this intimate area spiritually in your life, has been sent by the living God. Not by the church, not by the religion, not by the latest move of God in whatever part of the world has happened. Not any of that. Make sure it's from the living God. And then you can go to the bank with that. Verse 12, it says, I do what you ask. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never be anyone like you, nor will there be. You know what? I just flipped a couple of scriptures around. That's what God said to Solomon. So if you're tracking with me, if you're not, sorry. How did that happen? Elaine's away. So now you're thinking, does she do your sermons? No, she just does my laundry and stuff. So here we'll get back into this chapter of Jeremiah. Verse 10, it says, this is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I'll come to you and fulfill my good promise to you and take you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. There's a time when Christ is coming back. He said to the captives of Babylon, in 70 years, I'm coming back. There's a lot of people out there saying, you know what? The year 2000, we did all the math, and so when the clock strikes into the 2000 millennium, we're going home to be with Jesus. Books were written. I'm still here. They are false prophets. Do not ever believe anybody who says a day or a time. Do not believe them. Do not believe them. They are false prophets. God has not sent them. I don't care whether they write books. I don't care whether they have 10,000 or 50,000 people in their church. I don't care, because they're not right. And Scripture even says that. Don't believe anybody. Because he's coming back when he's coming back, like a thief in the night. And then it says in verse 12, after that promise, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Oh, come and pray to him. I've prayed more, honestly, in my life since I've been in RPC than I have, well, in my life in the last while anyway, than I have any other time. I pray a lot now. It's actually part of my fiber. I like praying. I like getting together and praying with people. I love spending, you know, there's the hour of prayer, and we do this. We kind of go, well, I got to spend an hour, you know, and you can't sleep, because that's in the scriptures. You know, or you should do an all-nighter, or you should fast and pray for 40 days. I don't know what you're supposed to do, but I'll tell you, you need to pray. You need to call on him. And he said, I'll listen to you. First Kings chapter 3. This is what this wise man Solomon did when he dedicated the temple. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, he had succeeded in carrying out all that he had in mind to do at the temple of the Lord and his own palace. The Lord appeared to him at night and said, isn't that awesome? Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayers, and I have chosen this place for myself as a temple of sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there will be no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among the people, this is so important. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. There's a lot to that. We just kind of take that scripture out. You need to understand that God has a plan for you. And that plan involves healing. It also involves humility. It also involves seeking his face. That's what it's all about. And then it's about forgiveness. Verse 15, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. I've chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. God is always there. You know where the temple is today? It's not here. That's 9300 Westminster Highway. It's here. This is not the temple. This is not the church. You are the church. This is the place that we set aside, which is beautiful, but this place is inhabited by the presence of God when his people are here. Otherwise, it's just a building set apart, but there's nothing magical about it. The spiritual part is you. And it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's what you got to do. Just seek him with all your heart. And I will be found by you. Seek and find. Remember hide and seek? Remember how mean some people were? They'd say, count to 15, and then they'd leave and go to another town. And you'd be counting, you'd look for days, and they weren't around. God's not like that. So you seek him, he'll find you. And you'll be found, declares the Lord, and will bring back from captivity. So this is it. God's plan for you involves good and not harm. Plans that promise a hope and a future. I went on this whole series because you need to know that there's a plan for you. We have a plan. God has given me a vision for RPC, and that's wonderful. But that's just a small increment in the puzzle for RPC, the plan, the whole plan, right from the very day it started here. This is an exciting time, but this is only a part of the time that he has planned. Because if he comes back 15 or 20 years from now, there's still more plan for him here. But he has a plan for you. He's got a plan for me. He's got a plan for your kids. He's got a plan for your spouse. He's got a plan for your parents. He's got a plan. He's got a plan for you, and that plan is for good and not for harm. And he gives you a hope and a future. Would you please stand with me? Team, would you come back? We're going to go into an altar call here and open these altars up, and people who are on the prayer team, board members and their wives, if they feel comfortable to do this, pastors and their spouses, board members and their spouses. Got to watch that. Pastors and their spouses. If you feel like you would like to come up and pray, we want to open these doors. And you can feel that this is the time when the ministry here is dismissed. So if you have to go, it's 12 o'clock. You have to go. That's fine. If you want to spend some time in the presence of God and pray for other people or get prayer for yourself, please. Feel free to just join in and spend the time here. So I'm going to pray. Father, I am so amazed that you'd have a plan for each one of us and then a plan corporately for all the people that are gathered here, all the kids that are in the other service. You have a plan for them. I get excited thinking about what the plan is for them because they have so much of a life ahead of them. But they're just as important as anyone else. So as we go into your worship time and prayer time, Lord, we just pray your Holy Spirit would meet every need that's presented here. Before we go, maybe there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe you've never, ever opened your heart up to Jesus. Or maybe you've backslidden and you kind of said, you know what, I'm just so far from God, I don't even think I can come back. Well, you don't have to come back very far because he's right there. He's right there. He's married to you. That's what it says in the scripture. He's married to you. He will never, ever let you go. Elaine and I laugh sometimes because the little poem, Footprints in the Sand, How Jesus Packed You. Elaine and I feel that we have heel marks many times with God where he drags us because we don't want to go. But he is there all the time for you. So I'm going to say this prayer. And if you've never said this prayer to anyone, say it out to God. Don't say it to anyone near you. And then if you say it and you mean it, then come and see one of the pastors here or one of the board members or somebody in leadership, and we've got some material for you, and we'd love to just welcome you into the family of God. Dear Heavenly Father, would you say this aloud with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for Jesus. I want to ask that you would come into my life. I'd ask that you would forgive my sins, because that's why you died on the cross. And you will freely forgive me. So I freely receive that. I ask you to be my Lord, my Savior, and my best friend. Would you reveal the plan that you have for me? And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Please come forward. We're going to pray.